Agenda item number 9, Mr. Johnny Tynes Jr., an oyster planting ground application. Mr. Stagg. Yes, it is.
On behalf of the board, I have which planting ground application in the name of Johnny Tynes Jr. This application is located in James River, City of Newport News, Iowa River. Protested by an adjacent police department. So the location of the application is along the Swash Hole area, locally in the James River, adjacent to Mulberry Island, part of the Fort Eustis military base. This is the location of the application. Now we're just through a small creek. With an aerial photography, again, the application is located here. The adjacent leaseholder who's objecting has gone to the rear. And with a closer view of the area of the application, is shown by this irregularly shaped polygon. And again, this is the rear as this is adjacent. We did do the standard public notice for this application. I will note that the reason for the age of this application, as you can see, was applied from 2014. The applicants themselves asked us to delay processing this for some period of time, I believe for monetary reasons. So we did hold off for a while and it was protested, but because of bringing this one in, it's actually it's near this one today. We would like to hear what we're doing. We did do a public interest review that resulted in us receiving a letter of protest, which is in the packet from Mr. John D. Maria, who has the adjacent lease. His contention is that he believed at the time he leased this lease, and I'll give you a little more history on that, that he obtained basically all the available ground along the shoreline. Mr. D. Maria did have a lease in this location, and back in the 1990s, he applied to basically fill in some areas between that existing lease and the shoreline that was conducted. And at that time, you know, we do believe that more or less we gave him all of what we considered appropriate area adjacent to this marsh area. However, that was in 1994. There is evidence that the shoreline in general is eroding, like a lot of the shorelines in the Commonwealth, due to both wave action and some rising sea level rise. And that has resulted in some areas along the shoreline where there are gaps between the existing leases and the shoreline itself. A secondary issue here is that this adjacent marsh is part of Fort Eustis military base. They do have these small creeks like the one you see here posted and to not enter these creeks. In this general area of Fort Eustis, they do live ammunition training. Therefore, they prefer not to have people traverse into these creeks. We have discouraged people in the past from applying in these creeks. And while we do maintain that these creeks that permeate through this marsh are state-owned, so they lose land, we have tried to honor their request by not recommending people not to apply in these areas. And we do have concerns about leasing any of the mouth of this creek. We would say the head of this creek is really from this little marsh area here across. Therefore, some portion of this application was certainly within the mouth of the creek itself. So we would recommend not leasing that area for that reason. That leaves the remaining area to the northwest and to the southeast southeast portion. There's just not really much available ground between the DeMaria lease and the shoreline. And we believe because of the mouth of the creek, if we were to survey this, we'd have to split it into two small, very small pieces, neither of which would probably be 3 acres, which would be required to obtain a dredge permit. So the only way this ground could probably work would be by hand tong, or actually picking them up by hand. And we just think that it's really too narrow. And the third factor is that Mr. DeMaria is objecting, one, thinking that he basically got all the ground that's here, but also has concerns that a lease is unpopulated. It's very difficult to monitor these leases because this marsh area is unoccupied, and it's a long run to run from either direction to see what's happening here. And I think he has some fear of possible poaching across the line of these leases. So those are the three main topics related to this application. Having said that, due to the use conflict in the creek area, the court used its military base actions and their wish to not allow traversing in that creek, and the objections of the leaseholder, and the fact that the remaining areas that we don't lease any of them out of the creek are very small, we cannot recommend leasing this area at this time. Should the commission concur with our recommendation, it would seem appropriate that if Mr. DeMaria would wish to lease a small area, particularly to the northwest, that little pocket, you know, that we might consider an application to add that to his existing lease. But the rest of the area is basically too narrow as we're giving out for free at this time. But that is our recommendation on this one. I believe the applicant is here. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine?
And you mentioned about the military installation that's there, that abuts that creek. Did they have any comment? Were they requested to provide input on this application?
We did not get, we don't, you know, as you probably know, we don't notify adjacent landowners. But we have had some correspondence with them in the past about people traversing in these creeks. And we know that they are on, they're basically on record as not wanting us to lease in these areas. I'm a little surprised that they didn't object at some point with the public notice, but no, we did not hear from them on this one, or the subsequent one.
Okay, but just for clarification, they kind of have a standing policy,
yes,
that they wish not to have leases right. Okay, thank you.
I've met personally with their staff, and they've gone on record that they would prefer to be not extending the leases. But I don't think they're real happy with how close these are to the shore.
Right.
Most of these leases are historically along the shore, I think, for decades.
Yeah.
Decades.
Thank you.
Mr. Minor, did you?
He
answered.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Tankard?
Yes, so with the lease of Mr. DeMaria, is that the, I believe the name? So we didn't lease the yellow originally to him. There must have been some logic for that.
This has eroded away to some degree here. This is this Mr. DeMaria's flat. So the area we're talking about is right here. So as you can see, it would appear at the time in 94 that we followed the fainter line. In some places it's right up against the lease line, but the line runs right along, and then this is the mouth of that creek.
Right.
And so I think this Mr. DeMaria is correct. I believe we did attempt to lease to him virtually all the ground. We can't do every little in and out for the shoreline. But there is erosion happening all along the shoreline. And at the mouth of these creeks, it's a little worse than other. You have not only just boat traffic, but the flushing of the creeks. So you get a little additional erosion from some of the mouth of these creeks.
All right. Other questions from the commission? I see none. Is the applicant present or represented? Please come forward, sir. How you doing, Mr. Tynes?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Please raise your right hand. I need to swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Jonathan Tynes, Jr.
Mr. Tynes, what can you add to this discussion at this point, and why do you want this planting ground?
Well, basically, you know, I'm a commercial waterman, and I'm looking for a viable way to support my family. I'm not here before, and y'all have had all ups and downs, and that don't have anything to do with what's going on right now. And I just want to put that out there right now before we even get to the coaching and all that good stuff.
That's all done.
Part of the deal. But basically, I applied for it. I went through the process. I understand Ms. DeMaria's objection, but it was available. You know, point blank. It was there, and it was almost 3 years ago. And I came into the office, talked to the people that was appointed to give me the opportunity to place the application. That's why I'm kind of concerned with the matter of the military objection. You know, that was it the same objection 3 years ago, or did it just come up today, or whenever they started making the discussion? But I advertised it publicly and did not object. So I feel like I should be able to work the ground and surveyed and had and make it leasable to me because I applied for it and it was my wife and they let me do it. And that, like I did, when I went in there, I always asked what you have available. I don't go in there and say, give me something that somebody want to fight over. I want to be able to support my family. I want to be fighting on both sides because you know it's rough out there. And that's basically what I have to say because I just don't understand some of the concurrent conversations after the fact.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
Mr. Tynes, your oyster lease questionnaire, that you kind of series of questions that you filled out, and I realize that was probably a couple years ago now. but it indicates that you would kind of do traditional planting on the ground, whether that's oyster shell or moving seed to the area. Yeah. Staff indicated that the area would probably be too small to get a dredge permit. So how do you propose to cultivate oysters in that area? Okay, so you would plant shell for natural strike and then go in and tong the area. Is your idea? Okay, all right. Thank you.
Mr. Holt, does that need to go? Okay. Mr. France.
Yeah, Mr. Tynes, do you have any other leases?
Yes, I do.
You did? Okay. Are they close to this area? Huh?
Actually, they're on the other side of the book. Girls Bay, Towers Beach.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Tynes, are those other grounds productive?
No.
No? Mm-hmm. Why do you think these grounds would be productive?
Well, I mean, you know, a fisherman approached it, and somebody told me that was a good area. I didn't even know that Mr. DeMaria owned that land right there, at least it. I just ate it. I said, hey, let's take what it is. He said, yeah, that might be a good spot for you. And don't try to try.
Okay. Other questions from the commission? We'll double back to you if there's more questions.
Yes,
thank you, Mr. Tynes. Do you have anybody else that you wish to testify on your behalf on this application? Okay. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify in favor of this application? Anybody who's against this application? Please come forward, sir. Good to see you, Mr. DeMaria. That's great. Thanks. Let me swear you in, please. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
Yes, I do.
Please step in front of the microphone and state your name for the record.
Okay, my name is John DeMaria. I'm DeMaria Seafoods. And my application advertising for all leasable acreage between Mulberry Island and my lease known as Nell's Creek and Squash's Hole was approved and surveyed by Mr. Showalter. Decisions made by Mr. Showalter to choose not to take the survey lines to the shore because he was trying to straighten the lines as well as deciding areas were too small to include were inappropriate. I relied on the competency of this survey to protect my purchase of leases that I made from Uncle Wishy Melzer, which I paid $200,000 for. Specifically, that straightening the lines up, when we were over here, you know, I said, well, why can't we go in here and get this? They said, well, we're trying to make the line straight. So that's kind of why this line goes like this and avoided all that property there. But By the way, while the survey was conducted by Jerry, both Lake Cowart and I were with him. That's why I know of his decision straightening out the lines and not including areas in shore that he said were too small. When he made those decisions contrary to the legal notice as well as my desires, I did not think it would be appropriate to argue. I felt like VMRC's policy and survey standards that were applied to me would be applicable to everyone in the future. Jerry assured me that no one could apply for what was not included in the survey the next day or in the future. The legal notice applied to VMRC shows that I applied for all leasable ground in shore of my lease. As a result of a competent survey, there should be no available acreage for an application to even occur. In reviewing the VMRC GIS map viewer via satellite aerials taken in 2009, 2006, and 2007, and 2002, which is prior to my application, one can see, although erosion has occurred, its acreage would not be sufficient to apply for, and the applied for area in shore of my lease should have been appropriately included in a survey by Mr. Showalter to me. I might add that Jim Wesson at a VIMS meeting at 5/14/2014 expressed that I should be very concerned and that I should promptly object to applications that have the potential to facilitate encroachment on my leases. As you know, it's gotten to be a problem stopping the habitual encroachment of both private and public oyster beds in the state of Virginia. I am gravely concerned that I can lose the inshore protection of this valuable asset. That is why I applied for resurveying the lease. Accordingly, I protest the application for any acreage inshore of my lease, since all that ground was already applied for and approved for by acquisition. A boundary adjustment should be made so that it is included with my lease. Since the year 2000, records, well, actually this is since 2010, I've shown records where I planted 122,595 bushels on those leases. And that, because I raised the seed oysters and the shells myself, it cost me $245,000 to do that, but that's about 25% of what the Shellfish Management Committee has to plant, because I do it a whole lot cheaper. The oysters that I sold from that piece of ground and also at Nell's Creek, which is the next objection that's coming up, I've sold for $1.4 million worth of oysters. That's 49,000 boxes, so it's a very, very valuable piece of ground. This information that I've given you right here applies to not only this piece of ground, but also the piece of ground on agenda number 10 as well.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Tanker.
Would you remind us again how long you've been oystering?
Well, I did this after I finished playing football at Florida State. I started back in 1973. And then my family, that's my son that's over there. This is all family operation. So it's been a long, long time. And I bought this from my uncle. And so when I was a kid, you know, like 14, 15, 16, 17, we were there all the time. My father was a retired colonel. We lived all over the country, so it's...
And a follow-up question.
Mr. Packard.
Have you had issues with encroachment on your lease and poaching?
I have a video on my phone where August last year, I had so much problem with people stealing over there at Squash's Hole that... And I called up a state delegate to see if we couldn't do something about it. And the first thing he wanted to do was talk to some people, to Shellfish, the MPOs. And I said, no, you don't really need to do that. I said, the state of Virginia has got so many problems with this that they've got so many issues, places they're going from. If you talk to them, they're doing what they're being instructed to do by the superiors. What I'd like for you to do is to go to the head over at VMRC and see if I can't get some action. And as a result of that telephone call, within 2 hours, I had two MPOs in my office and said they were dogs and they were going to catch these people. Well, they went over on the island and they watched. And they didn't see anybody doing anything wrong. And on August the 30th, the year before last, I texted Steve York, which was the MPO, and told him I was going to go out there at night and watch my ground, and which I did. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I have my night vision equipment, and I'm sitting there in the marsh watching. And I'd park my boat in this creek right up here, and I was in this line watching down the property line right here. And I didn't see anybody coming. So, and when I parked the boat there, the tide was falling. And so at 5:45, I started walking back to the boat. And as I did that, I saw a boat come running into my area, running in there about 500-600 yards, then turn around. And as he proceeded to put the dredge overboard, I called up Steve York and told him what was going on. And he said, well, go out there and see him and see what they got. And I ran over there to him, and they saw me when I was trying to get the boat because it was low tide, and I took off trying to get out, and it was made a lot of noise, and they took off down towards Moore Island Point. And a mile and a half later, I got up to them, and I started snapping pictures. I've got all that on my phone. And they were taking pictures of me. And anyway, the following week, they went to the magistrate and told three of them on the boat, told the magistrate that I pulled a gun on. So the following week, all the BMRC people came to the place and said, John, we know you didn't do anything wrong. We understand that. But the city of Newport News comes over here. They're going to throw you to the ground, put handcuffs on you, and arrest you. So just jump in the front of our car. We'll take you down there, and everything will be taken care of. And the magistrate, you know, let me out on my own recognizance. And so it's just been a real nightmare. There's stuff like this happen. I'm not telling you guys anything that you don't know. I know you know this is a big problem. I sit on the Shellfish Management Committee, so I know that you do the best you can, but I know you just can't watch everything. The way I look at it, the amount of inspectors that you'd have to have to sit there and watch the river, you need to have one every 10 miles, and you need to have one on 8-hour shifts. And just in the James River alone, it would take 30 or 40 people to watch it. And I know that's just impossible. And, you know, I appreciate everything that you do, but it's tough.
It is. It has been my lament for a number of years, Mr. DeMaria. It's been my lament for a number of years.
Yeah, I know. I understand.
The best we can do is the best we can do with the resources that are provided to us by the General Assembly.
Believe me, I appreciate seeing the people out there all the time. As you can see from the amount of money I got out there, you can understand why.
Yep.
So, I mean, I've put my whole heart and soul into this.
Mr. Erskine.
I just wanted to make a comment to Mr. Tankard's question about encroachment or poaching. And this area in particular is a highly productive area, as demonstrated Mr. DeMaria's. And some of the private leaseholders will fly private planes in the area multiple times a week to just view what is happening on private leases. So.
Wow.
There's quite an investment not only in the ground itself and the resource in that area. And I'm not suggesting that someone would go into somebody's lease or not, but that area in particular is highly productive, and the investment is not just in the resource, it's in protecting that resource. So,
thank you. I had no idea.
Yes, there's opportunity out there for somebody who wants to invest into it, but it takes a lot of money to do that. I've just been in business since the 70s, and you know, I've accumulated wealth, and I'd rather put the money in the river, and I have a chance of getting something back from it. If I send it to the IRS, I'll never see it again. So I know you guys know what I'm talking about. And this applies to the next item on the agenda, Dennis, too. I mean, I can come up and say the same thing over.
Well, and we are going to need you to do that because we need to perfect the record in each case.
Okay, thank you.
So I appreciate that. Any other questions to Mr. DeMaria? Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify on this matter? Mr. Tynes, you want to take another bite at the apple? You got anything else to add to this? Well, come on up, sir.
At this point, first of all, I respect Mr. DeMaria. I should still fish to him. You know, he never did bring a bad deal, you know. But it seems like it's a thing of the haves and have not. You know, you've been doing it for 20 years. I'm trying to do it for 20 years. It's 4 acres, maybe less than that. I may have to tone it. I don't even have a dredge, but I got a drink. Bottom line.
How much is it spent on it? $200,000? I might have been 10 years old when he bought it. I got 5 kids. I want $200,000 to give to my kids. I have $15,000 a year doing this. I bust my hump. I made mistakes, out of ignorance, but I still was working my butt off to do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm a little man. I want to be a big fish too. That's all I'm asking. Give me an opportunity.
Mr. Hurston.
Mr. Tynes, I commend you for looking for Oyster Ground to expand and, yes, and do what you need to do. You mentioned that you have leases currently across, across the river. Yes. Is there any opportunity to maybe make some of that ground productive by, you know, building it up, maybe what you were intending to do in this area that's a much smaller piece? Is there an opportunity that you have on a piece of ground that you could make that area productive?
Well, being an opportunist and positive, I think all of them has a chance, but my plan is really a 20-year plan. I got a bunch of mud. I mean, one of the grounds I applied for, I mean, this is hypothetical, but I applied for it, and I wanted to go further into a certain area. They denied me. A year later, somebody else got it. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I'm working within the parameters you give me. You understand what I'm saying? I applied for it. It was available. I think I should be able to get it. I mean, that's the bottom line. I understand his qualms. Hey, when he surveyed, that was 10 years ago. 10 years later, it's something that, you know, I don't know who Mr. Weston is. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he had the authority to give him that guarantee that nobody else would be able to get the application. But guess what? I'm standing before the board right now applying for it. So evidently what that guy told Mr. DeMaria was null and void because he didn't have the right to give him that say-so. Because if he did, I wouldn't be here.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Tynes. We hear you, and we understand your wants and your concerns.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Stagg, could you go over the staff recommendation again and the reasoning behind it?
So staff recommends denial of the entire area for three reasons. One, a portion of it is within the mouth of the creek, and we're trying to honor the request of the base to extend leases up into these creeks where they have live ammunition training. The remaining two areas are extremely narrow, and they could be hand-tonged. We never said they couldn't, but if you split these into two separate pieces, they become so small that you could not get a dredge permit. Because you have to have 3 acres to get a dredge permit, and they'd have to be contiguous 3 acres. And the concerns of Mr. DeMaria, we have to weigh those in our decision as well. So that is the reason that we are recommending.
Mr. Taggart.
So, Mr. Stagg, just so I'm clear on it, the testimony that Mr. DeMaria gave us that the lines that were drawn in the past were drawn out of perhaps convenience / clarification. Is that how you remember the events of the past as well?
I worked on the survey for that survey in 1994. I was Jerry Showalter was the surveyor. I was his aide. So he was making the calls on where the lines went. I was just merely there to record them.
Right.
And I made the plat. That plat you saw was, I drew that plat. But that is our policy typically along the shoreline is that we really don't try to crowd MEMA water. We always want to err on the side of the landowner and stay on the subaqueous side of the MEMA water line. The state-owned part. So we do straight lines out where there's some irregularities in the shoreline. So I can't say that's not true, that wasn't done here. But as you can see, I mean, the lines Mr. DeMaria was talking about, until you get to this little embayment, which has eroded some, I mean, this is pretty close. This is pretty standard what you're going to see on our surveys in 2017. We're going to run lines One, it reduces the number of corners, the number of stakes that the leaseholder has to stake, and it does make it a little simpler.
There have been technological improvements in surveying since you platted this way back when?
Yeah, so we didn't have aerial photography back in 94 that we were using to, you know, we just had a shoreline map of a shoreline that was done in the 70s from aerial photography. So, you know, of course, when we stick it in the field, we can see the shoreline. But so you have to understand that plat you saw, the shoreline of that was probably not super accurate to where the lease line was. It's relatively close. But now you can see it. We can show you a picture, and you can see how close it is, which we use now, which technologically does make it better for us in this day and age. But
a follow-up question.
Mr. Tankard.
And so when Mr. DeMaria says that Jerry assured me that no one could apply for what was not included in the surveys for the next day or in the future, would that seem like something that Jerry would have said to Mr. DeMaria?
Well, having worked with Jerry for quite a few years, I wouldn't say he might not have said that. But, you know, I didn't hear that personally, but with the conversation with this Mr. DeMaria. But, you know, Jerry had his own style of doing things, and I don't want to disparage his work because he was a very, very diligent
sure.
state worker. But it is possible there was a conversation like that. I mean, I think we were trying to lease here pretty much what was available, but there are some areas that Mr. DeMaria may have wanted us to go closer to the shoreline, and Jerry was not willing to do it.
Mr. Erskine.
Ben, there seems to be a lease that might be just contiguous to 2671, Mr. Melzer. Did he have any input on this or any comment, or did you receive any? Okay.
Yep, the only comment we got on this was from Mr. DeMaria.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? I have one. I hear Mr. Tyson, I hear his sincerity. This may not be the spot for him. Where would a spot be for him?
Well, he does have some other leases, and he has a pending application in the York River that we are attempting to get surveyed very soon that is not, at the moment, protested. Much larger piece than this. So we are trying to work with Mr. Tynes to get him some additional ground. Not much ground available in the James River that's of much value. There is some mud bottom in some places in Pearls Bay still, but.
Do you know anything about that lease application in the York River? Does that hold promise?
I don't know a whole lot about that specific bottom, what condition that bottom is in, but there are adjacent leases to it that I believe are at least semi-productive. So the thinking would be is if there's something on it already, it could be enhanced, and the bottom may be suitable for planting.
But as far as the James River goes, pretty much booked up?
Well, we have a lot of pending applications down near the James River Bridge, which you will be hearing at some point, but we're probably going to recommend against leasing those for a number of reasons. One, the ground's not very suitable, and two, it's some of it that is suitable has been used by the public, but that's a whole different case. But there really is very little ground left in the James River unless you purchase an existing lease, which is always an option.
Bit of a conundrum. Well, what's the will of the commission?
We have not surveyed this area because of our recommendation. And we have the technology now to evaluate how much area is here by aerial photography. We didn't want to waste our resources surveying it. Should the commission approve something here, we will have to survey it. We'll have to stick it up.
What's the depth of water in this area?
Pretty shallow. The mouth of the creek is a little bit of a deep area kind of going in the mouth once you get in the mouth, but hopefully you won't lease that. I don't think that would be a good idea in light of the basis concerns, but it's relatively shallow here. I mean, this is the near shore. This doesn't drop off. I mean, this whole swash area is relatively shallow. I think Mr. Erskine can attest to that because Evans and Cowards have leases in this area as well.
So what do you think? A foot or two? Maybe 3 feet of water?
Yeah.
Ms. Hurston.
I'd make a motion to accept staff recommendation to deny the application. And I appreciate Mr. Tynes' testimony and the fact that he's working to find some area that's suitable. Maybe there's another application that he has in the York River, or maybe he can work on some of the area that he currently has leased. So I'd make that in a form of a motion.
It's a motion by Mr. Erskine to accept staff recommendation to deny the application. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Cohen. Is there further discussion on this matter?
This discussion, both the applicant and the protester were very well spoken, and when one of them speaking, I agree with that person. But I will defer to AJ's expertise.
And I also see both sides on this issue. I would very like Mr. Tynes to be able to have a good piece of ground here that's productive for him, but I don't think this is the spot. We have a motion and a second. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
No.
Noes by Mr. France and Mr. Minor. And the chair votes aye reluctantly. The motion passes 5-2, and the application is denied.
The next one?
Mr. Snag, before we move on, Mr. Tynes needs some help in finding another ground and the other application. I would very much like staff to be helpful for it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.